In Phoenix, Arizona, a dying strip mall is coming back to life. The Bethany East Center was virtually empty, but a few brave business owners took a risk and moved into the mall. It hasn't been easy. In March of this year, the mall fell into foreclosure and new buyers stepped in. Now the outlook is improving, as Peter O'Dowd of member station KJZZ reports.
During last year's World Series, this sports bar was an empty shell, another unused space on Phoenix's distressed real estate market. This year, a sizable crowd takes in October baseball.
Count in Beltre's favor. He'll look for something to drive here on this cold night.
Operations manager Jeremy Higgins says Zips Sports Grill poured its first beer in the spring. It brought this corner a jolt of life it hadn't seen in years.
If you came for the playoffs game with the D-backs on that Friday night, the whole entire parking lot, including places you shouldn't be parking, was completely full.
The turnaround at Bethany East has been fast. In August, a gym moved in, followed by a nursery and a gymnastics center. There's a new barber, a yogurt shop, and another restaurant is on the way.
Thank God. I was so relieved. I was like, oh my God, okay, we're going to make it.
There were days when Claudine Demetrio feared she wouldn't make it.
You have to be honest, as a business owner, you never really know how it's going to work out, even with all of this.
She opened her day spa last December when the pocket-sized storefront was practically alone in this complex with room for about 18 tenants. As the building languished in foreclosure and eventually changed hands, Demetrio was left wondering,
did I make the right decision?
And who wouldn't worry? Demetrio invested her entire life savings, $80,000, into the business. Today, the complex is almost full. All that extra foot traffic might help her turn a profit by Christmas. With so much on the line, she had to survive.
It's close to impossible.
Dan Mercer works for the commercial real estate firm Grubb & Ellis. He tips his hat to the small shops that stayed afloat without a large anchor tenant to draw customers. He says shopping centers like this usually need that anchor, and without it, they suffered during the downturn. Each quarter since 2007, vacancy rates have inched up to nearly 17%. But there's a reason why little shops may have held on. And of course, it has something to do with location.
Rooftops drive retail, but you've got to have people in those rooftops.
So in other words, a similar shopping center out in the burbs is not going to be doing as well.
That is correct.
Demetrio opened her day spa just a few miles from downtown. Denser urban areas are more attractive to big tenants. But to sign the 21,000 square foot gym or the $1 million sports bar, the landlord still had to offer months of free rent and money for renovations. Mercer needs one word to describe how important those incentives are to revitalize a defunct shopping center.
Critical.
Raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, you name it, we got it. Chocolate chips, almonds.
But the little guys like Richard Hancherick won't get as much help. Hancherick opened this yogurt shop about a month ago. Like others here, he used a huge portion of his personal wealth to get it running.
To do it right, you're looking at about $200,000.
The landlord offered some money to remodel, but it was a fraction of Hancherick's investment.
This is all on the owner, and I think that's why I respect and I get respect from the other store owners, the small business owners, because they have to do the exact same thing.
In fact, you'll find coupons for his yogurt at the gymnastics center. Gym members get a discount at the day spa. In this economy, these entrepreneurs know they'll need allies and more optimism to survive another year. For NPR News, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Phoenix.
Chicago is hoping to generate some new revenue while also alleviating a nasty traffic problem. A new study ranks Chicago second worst in the nation in traffic congestion. Mayor Rahm Emanuel's solution? A $2 congestion fee on weekday parking in public lots and downtown garages. Other cities have had some success with congestion pricing, but as NPR's David Shaper reports, some experts and local drivers are skeptical.
Hello. You may pay with cash or credit card.
For being computer-generated, the voice coming from this automated pay station in this downtown Chicago parking garage is pretty friendly. But the prices? Attorney Tom Higgins says not so much. Prices start as low as $6 for 20 minutes, but quickly skyrocket.
81 to 100 minutes is $27. 101 minutes to 12 hours is $30. So unless you're staying here more than 12 hours, you're bleeding.
And Higgins is not happy with Mayor Emanuel's plan to add a $2 congestion fee on weekday parking. The lawyer says he tries to take the train from his home in Northwest Indiana whenever he can, but he can't always do so.
Based on what I do and my need to be able to travel to court in various outlying districts, I need my car. So I guess it's just another cost for working in the city.
It would absolutely put me over the top.
Colleen Karstad is a chef instructor at a downtown culinary school and pays a reduced parking rate. But even that, she says, just went up.
And now with an additional $2 tax, that puts me at $14 a day. And it's just too much. I'll be on the L, for sure.
The L being the city's elevated trains. And Karstad's response is exactly what city officials and urban planners are hoping for.
Congestion in downtown Chicago is bad.
Peter Scosi is with the nonprofit Metropolitan Planning Council. He says the city needs to keep the central business district and not the number of cars growing with people coming downtown to work, shop, and play.
We have to start looking at how we increase the number of people that come in by trains and buses, on bikes, and on foot.
Scosi says the key to Mayor Emanuel's proposal is that it would dedicate revenue from the congestion fee to improving other transportation options, from mass transit stations and new bus routes to new bike lanes, so people forced out of their cars by higher prices would have more options. But not everyone is convinced this is the right approach.
I do not think a $2 a day charge on off-street parking is the way to go.
Donald Shoup is a professor of urban planning at UCLA. His book, The High Cost of Free Parking, prompted many cities to rethink how they price downtown parking. He says a $2 increase may not be enough to get many commuters to leave their cars at home, especially if their employers cover all or part of the parking cost. In addition, he says raising prices in parking lots and garages might only increase the number of drivers circling around in search of street parking, adding to congestion.
The most important thing to do for any city is to get the price of curb parking right.
That's the approach some other cities are taking. San Francisco, for example, is experimenting with parking meters that change prices block to block and at different times of day based on supply and demand. Seattle, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and other cities are also trying congestion pricing on street parking. Shoup and other urban planners say Mayor Emanuel should consider incorporating meters and other options into his plan, which will be voted on by the City Council next month. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
Now to the American housing market. Existing home sales and prices declined last month, evidence that the market remains in a slump. There's a proposal in Congress to try to change that. Among other things, the new bill would grant U.S. tourist visas to foreign home buyers, people paying with cash. As NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, the hope is to encourage more wealthy people abroad to spend their money here.
The proposed legislation is like an invitation addressed to the rest of the world to a very exclusive party. Who's invited? Well, I'll let Brian Phillips do the honors.
If you are a person of means and you can live in the United States for more than 6 months of the year and you can write a cash check to a homeowner for their home in excess of $500,000, then we would certainly welcome that.
Phillips is communication director for Utah Republican Mike Lee. Senator Lee, along with New York Democrat Charles Schumer, introduced legislation yesterday that would expedite tourist visas and grant longer stays to Canadian senior citizens. And it would give those foreign homebuyers a visa to be in the U.S. at least 6 months out of the year, but only if they pay with cash, not a mortgage.
There are people out there who can't sell their homes. There are folks here in the United States who can't purchase a home at that rate. So we want to try to link up people who would like to sell their homes, who are trying to sell their homes, with folks who can afford it.
In other words, this invitation is open only for those willing to pay the high price of admission. People who can afford to buy homes with cash also presumably would buy furniture, carpets, and other goods while in the U.S. Phillips notes, under this bill, these homeowners would get tourist visas, not work visas. Also, because they'd buy the properties outright, there's no possibility of foreclosure. The concept is one that appears to have broad support. Billionaire Warren Buffett endorsed it as an effective way of getting rid of excess housing inventory in an August interview with Charlie Rose.
If you wanted to change your immigration policy so that you let 500,000 families in, but they had to have a significant net worth and everything, you'd solve things very quickly.
It also gets support from Glenn Kelman, the CEO of Redfin, an online brokerage with operations all around the country.
When property values sag and this is a desirable place to live, one of the simplest solutions is just to let more people in so that they can buy the homes.
Kelman lives in Seattle. He says just 140 miles north from him, Vancouver is like his hometown's mirror image, except buyers from India and China are fueling a housing boom there. Meanwhile, in Seattle, building is at a standstill.
I don't know. You just drive across that bridge into Vancouver and you feel like you've entered the Twilight Zone and the place is just hopping. It's like 2006 all over again and it's never stopped.
Of course, foreign buyers have been snapping up lots of properties in the U.S. According to the National Association of Realtors, foreign buyers made up 3% of national sales in September. And they tend to buy pricier homes, more than 40% above the average national sales price. Walter Maloney is a spokesman for the Realtors Association. He says buyers come from all over the world.
The top countries of origin for international buyers are Canada, China, Mexico, UK, and India.
Maloney says U.S. homes are attractive because they're relatively inexpensive, especially in high foreclosure states like Florida and Arizona. There are also few legal obstacles to transferring titles. Maloney says visas can pose problems for some would-be buyers, so it's possible the house for visa trade would make a difference for some. But, he says, how many buyers will take the U.S. up on this deal, if it comes to pass, is not knowable. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain's 999 tax plan has taken a lot of heat recently. Several independent analysts have found that under the plan, poor and middle-class families will pay higher taxes, and what's more, they say, the richest will see a substantial tax cut. Well, today in Detroit, Cain unveiled his response. NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
Cain's 999 plan would scrap the current tax code and replace it with a 9% business tax, a 9% income tax, and a 9% national sales tax.
999 means jobs. Jobs, jobs.
Cain stood before a giant abandoned building, a symbol of urban blight and decay, to roll out the details of his plan to help distressed inner cities and poor people. For the poor, income taxes would be zeroed out.
If you add or below the poverty level, your plan isn't 999. It's 909. Say amen, y'all. 909.
Robert N. Williams with the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center says even with this change, the lowest income Americans would see their tax bills rise because the business tax would trickle down to them and...
He would still have the sales tax, 9% on every dollar people spend, and for poor families, that's a deal breaker.
For cities, Cain introduced the concept of opportunity zones, areas where there would be special tax advantages to encourage businesses to hire. It's unclear whether the plan would generate enough tax revenue after these changes, though Cain insists it remains revenue neutral. Tamara Keith, NPR News.